Our fathers, we come now to hear you speak through your word. Please give us ears that are quick to listen and hearts that will believe and obey for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do please be seated. Now, I wonder what you make of the word religious, religion. I guess it's a word that was often used years ago, but has fallen out of favour somewhat a little here in London. I think definitely back in Wales. People of faith, yes, we can say that. Spiritual, okay. Devout, maybe. But religious, not so much. I guess for many it brings to mind all sorts of negative connotations. Sanctimonious, self-righteous, judgmental, pernickety, and much more. So those who would think of religion like that certainly wouldn't consider themselves to be religious. They can't imagine why they would ever want to be, and they are suspicious if anyone else admits that they are. Now, I take it most of us here probably don't think in quite the same way about religion, given that we are here on a Sunday morning. But I take it we do appreciate why people might think like that. And even if we are committed Christians, we might still ourselves be slow to use that word religious, because we know what others associate with it. But here we are doing what many out there would consider religious. We're at a church service this morning. We pray, and we probably do lots of other religious activities, support the ministry of the church, all sorts of things like that. So, okay, we wouldn't say maybe we're religious, but in some sense we are. How should we think about these things? Well, as ever, we should listen to Jesus, see what he has to say. And on Sunday mornings for the past couple of months, we've been going through this Sermon on the Mount, and we've been in chapter 6. And chapter 6 really, so far, has all been about this issue of religion. So let's, this morning, pull together what we've heard as we listen again to Jesus. Turn with me to page 978. Page 978, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and we'll read from the first verse. "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So Jesus' sermon, all the way through, we've seen, has underlined the importance of righteousness. That is, for members of Jesus' kingdom to live his way. That really matters. Do you remember the beatitude we heard? "Blessed are those," says Jesus, "who hunger and thirst for righteousness." That's to be our passion, this pursuit of righteousness, is to shape all that we are. In fact, it can't be hidden if we're doing it. Remember, Jesus said it would be like a city set on a hill, a lamp on a stand. So therefore, this wholehearted righteousness will be noticed. It'll make its stamp on the world. But when it comes to practicing righteousness, there is a very real danger, which Jesus said there in verse 1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. Now, if we've listened in, that's quite puzzling at first. Sounds like a contradiction, because Jesus already told us that we're not to hide away. We are to be out there living for Christ in the world. But how can I do that unashamedly and yet the world doesn't notice? Well, we read on in that first verse. Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them." It's a question of motivation. What drives you? What drives me? What drives us in our pursuit of righteousness? And Jesus here, of course, is speaking of what drives just about everyone by nature. It's all about what other people think. Maybe it's our friends or our colleagues, our classmates, maybe even complete strangers. Some people like to give the impression they don't care what other people think. It's always interesting to work out, even as they say that, who's the one particular group they still want to be in with, even if that is shown by rejecting others. It does matter, doesn't it, to us, what other people think. We want to keep up appearances. We consider carefully how what I say, what I do, will impress you, or what you think about what you see. And Jesus knows this overriding concern that we all have out there by nature will, if we're not very careful, find its way in here, into our church life together. In fact, religion gives you an almost golden opportunity to be seen by others and to try and impress. Now remember, the issue here is not the righteous life itself. Of course, Jesus is all for that. It's meant to be in the open. It's meant to be with others. The question is, what's going on in our hearts? What is the motivation? What drives us? Because the problem is when it's to be seen by others. Okay, Jesus, what does that look like then in our religious life, if we were to do that? Well, we saw in this passage, he covers a number of areas fairly briefly. Giving, verse 2. We want to blow our own trumpet. That is, when we give, are generous, whether financially or in other ways, we just find ways of ensuring that others see it, or at least hear about what we've done and given. Or prayer. Well, verse 5, we pray in public at the spot where we know we'll be seen. So we go to services like this, but not really to be praying, but so that others see us praying. Then there's fasting, that's down there in verse 16. You can spot who's doing it for the wrong reasons. Look at their faces. It's so hard. They look so glum. Where does religion like that get you? It's all around us. But notice what Jesus says with each example that he gives. Each time he says hypocrites, because in all those ways, the pretense is doing it for God, but in reality, it's for others. And then look how they each lead to exactly the same outcome. Each time he says, "Truly I say to you, they have received their reward." So there is a reward if you give like this, or pray like this, or fast like this. You may well actually get what you're after. People will notice. They may congratulate you. You may get a reputation for generosity, for spirituality, for sacrifice. But no more. That's it. That's all you get. Verse 1 especially, look how it ends. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. And that is a shock. It is possible to be religious. In fact, you could be very religious. In fact, you could be religious your whole life and yet not really know God at all. Everyone else might assume we're religious, might think we're Christians. We help the needy, we pray, we fast. Hardly anybody does that, but we do, we think. Maybe even we lead services, maybe even we get ordained in the church. But still, there can be nothing more to it than what the others can see. That's why we do it anyway. And Jesus says, that's what you'll get. Now, some, I think, hearing this from Jesus won't actually be that bothered, because they don't really mind, because they know that Jesus is right. It is for the sake of other people. So if they get that, then ultimately that's all they really want. So yes, they are religious, but this is what they're after, the praise of others. It's their way of getting ahead in the world they've chosen to live in, to get respect, to feel better about themselves before others. When they hear this idea of a reward from your Father who is in heaven, it all sounds, well, too intangible. It's all so vague. Anyway, what does that mean? They're not bothered. So they carry on living like this, maybe very religious. And they're thinking, anyway, surely what else is there but to make the best of it while we're here? But there will be others, I think, hearing Jesus' warning and thinking, well, that's actually very unsettling. That could be pretty serious, because, no, I'm not perfect. I might slip into those ways, but I know there is more to it than that. Surely, serving the one true Creator God must be at the heart of the righteous life, the true religious life. So we're wondering, well, what then, Jesus, does that look like? Well, he tells us, doesn't he? So let's again go through each of those areas. Well, when it comes to giving, verse 3. When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What about praying? That's verse 6. When you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Fasting is verse 17. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Well, I'm sure you picked up there are two threads, if you like, running through what Jesus is saying. The first one is that true religion, those activities, are not to be done for the sake of others, so that others will see, so that they will notice what we are doing. Now again, don't mishear Jesus. There's clearly a place for public acts. After all, how else would people see those good works and then give glory to God? Remember, that's what Jesus says. We want people to see what we do, that they'll give the glory to God, not to us. And so, giving will be kept discreet. So we'll consider carefully and sacrificially how much we can give. We'll maybe write the check, set up the standing order, but then essentially forget about it. Or prayer. There's a place for public prayer. You find in the Gospels Jesus prays publicly. So that can't be a wrong thing to do. So we'll do it in church. We'll go to prayer meetings. We'll pray with others, maybe in a small group. But at our heart of our relationship with God will be personal, individual prayer. And we'll find a way of doing it that's not conspicuous at all, because we're not doing it for others. As best we can, find a quiet, private place and pray. And with fasting, Jesus says, wash your face, brush your hair, look presentable, or at least as presentable as usual. Don't draw attention to doing something like that. In fact, if you fast, others may not have the slightest idea that you're doing it. And that's the point. In all these areas, we are motivated, we are driven to do these things for God our Father, not for the sake of others noticing. That's the first thread running through what Jesus says. And the second one is that what Jesus repeats each time. Again, we'll have heard it. He says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. There is a reward. Now, we're not talking about earning anything or brownie points or merit or anything like that. So what is it? Well, rather, this is the reward that follows from being a true follower of Jesus. So yes, others might call us religious people, but we don't want to particularly use that phrase. We'd much rather something like believing people. We've realized that Jesus is God's King, came to earth. More than that, we've realized how wonderful he is. We realized he came to rescue, to die for us, that we can be forgiven and brought back to God. And because we believe he's the King, well, we're also repentant people. Again, that's the description we would want to use. We've realized that we used to live for ourselves and what others thought of us. But we've realized now that was rebellious, that was stupid. Now we want to live for God. We want to follow Jesus to please our Heavenly Father. Our desire is to enjoy this relationship with God for which we were made. And Jesus is saying, if that is your desire, if that's what your heart wants, if that's what's driving all your religious activities, then you'll get it. You will gain your reward. Our Father sees everything, what we do in public and in private. He even sees our hearts and what's driving them. And if he can see that we are reaching out to him, he will reward us. But what will these heart desires be then that the Father will reward? And that's a very good question. Now, I think Jesus helped us to see. That's why what's important is the structure of our passage. That is, the order in which Jesus said it and how he put it together. Because notice how Jesus speaks of three areas, doesn't he, of religious life: giving, prayer, and fasting. And it's prayer that comes in the middle. And then in our section on prayer, at its heart, again, is something slightly different. Well, it's the Lord's Prayer. And that Lord's Prayer is not a digression in the middle of Jesus talking about religion. Quite the opposite. This is the heart of it. This is what it's all about. Look again at verse 8, where Jesus encourages us by saying that our all-seeing Father knows what we need before we ask him. And so then, verse 9, Jesus teaches us how to pray. So Jesus is saying, if you have this heart directed towards God, let me show you what will be the things that you ask for, the things that you want and desire. And of course, we've been looking at this prayer then over the last few Sundays, line by line. And we saw how the order of the requests is very important. It all starts with God. We address him as Father. And then remember those first three requests: hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. We thought much more in those talks. Do listen in online if you missed them. But the point is, those then, for the repentant person, the believing person who knows God truly, well, those will be the desires that drive us. That is what we long to see. And so we give towards those things. We pray towards them. We fast, longing those things would happen. And then if you do that, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So for the true believer, those are thrilling words to hear from Jesus. Your prayers will be answered. His name will be honored in all the world and in you. His kingdom will grow far and wide, and his will be done all the more. Now, if at this point hearing all this, well, it's a bit of a letdown. If hearing language of reward, we were hoping for something else, something different. If you're feeling a bit cheated at the moment by Jesus, well, maybe the alarm bell should be ringing. Maybe we are the religious type who doesn't actually know God at all. Our religion, in the end, is for our own sake. To make ourselves feel good in those self-righteous ways, to boost our standing before others. And Jesus says, you've already received your reward. But if, as followers of Jesus, our lives are now bound up with him and with God's glory, well, this will be thrilling to hear. Because following Jesus in today's world is challenging in all sorts of ways, and Jesus knows that. And yet, he is telling us God is at work, not least, or maybe in particular, in response to his people's prayers. So here is encouragement for us, that if we seek after God and his will and his kingdom, we will find him. Now, not in all the ways we would expect, far from it. We will still have so many questions and be puzzled. But in many ways, and in ways we never expected that are so wonderful, we will realize that God's name is being hallowed in certain areas, and maybe in our lives, in ways we never thought it would be. We are finding ourselves living to honour him all the more as we deeply desire. We are seeing others come to know him and share in all these blessings. That is, we are receiving our heart's desire to the glory of God. Well, let's pray together as we close. Our Father, we praise you again for this reminder from our Lord Jesus that true religion is not about mere outward formalities, but there is a reality, a deep, true and lasting relationship with you. We thank you again for sending your Son to deal with our sin, to bring us to you. And now we pray that you would keep us pursuing you. Would our prayers be according to these priorities that Jesus has taught us? And so would we then enjoy this reward of knowing you better, seeing increasingly in this age and all the more in eternity that your name is hallowed, your kingdom is coming, and your will being done. We ask all this for your glory. Amen.